You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
What you need when what you really want inside can ain't giving up a second thought about you now. Ghetto people,
who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me, people, you gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Ghetto people,
where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna
tell
be?
Me what your life is?
What's with your life? Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself. Yeah.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission, to our ancestors whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture, but there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity. Because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything was well with you today. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you wanted to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it was not, and you had to get it done, you got it done. That's right. It wasn't open. Ain't no procrastination in you. You get it done. That's right. So keep getting it done. You're listening to African Perspective. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcast. Click on that. In the drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Or you can just go to babaoshi.net. Go on the line. Go on the net and say, BabaOshi.net, BabaOshi.net, BabaOshi.net. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. On Mondays, that's today, Black Therapy Central from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. That's followed from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey in Cobra. On Tuesdays from 8 to 10, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Tuesdays. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 p.m. to 9. The Black Farmers Report from 8 p.m. to 9. And then on Fridays, once again, it's Time for an Awakening at 8 p.m. on Fridays. Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays from 7 p.m. to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council from 7 p.m. to 9 on Saturdays. And then once again on Sundays, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 7 p.m. on Sundays. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. And, of course, these holidays are they're coming up. And, well, this is it. This is the so-called holiday season. So please consider spending money with us. Spending money with us, WeBuyBlack.com, or any other online thing that's us, or any other businesses in your locale that's us, please consider spending money with us. Africa for the Africans. Africa for the Africans. My good brother, Bomani Tahimba, he'll be my guest on Friday. We'll talk about his recent trip to Tanzania and the upcoming trips that he has. He has a trip coming up this month, a few weeks from now, December 24th to January 5th, going to Ghana. And then April 1st to April 11th to Senegal and Gambia. And then May 24th to June 5th, going to Ghana. And then November, next year, November 17th through the 28th, going back again to Tanzania. All these trips are affordable, $38, the occupancy. All they're very affordable. And so there's a payment plan. You put the down payment down and pay on it monthly or whatever the case may be for you to make it easier on yourself. And everything you need is right on the website. All the documentation, all the information, all the things that are required, everything is there right where you need it. And, of course, you can go online if you want to see pictures of previous tours. Go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Habesha Incorporated. Habesha Incorporated. These brothers and sisters are doing the work to serve to be supported. HabeshaIncorporated.org. Habesha stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad on the continent. And they have a number of projects. And, of course, they got the Kashi Project that is happening in Africa, in Ghana. But their programs are Habesha Works, Sustainable Agriculture is what it is, Sustainable Seeds, Black to Our Roots, Golden Growers, and Urban Green Jobs. So check out HabeshaIncorporated.org. The Ledge Group. Ledge, land for the environmental development for group economics. Land for the environmental development of group economics, the Ledge Group, working in many countries and dealing with the four areas of human existence, which is food, water, clothing, and shelter, providing those things, stabilizing those things. And like I said, they're in 12, they have 12 projects in six different countries with over 170 employed and over 260 members. Become a member of the Ledge Group. Go to ledgegroup.com. In fact, if you become a member of the Ledge Group, you can buy land in Tanzania, $250 an acre. $250 an acre. The Ledge Group. Abibi Atumi, A-B-I-B-I-T-U-M-I, abibiatumi.com. Brothers and sisters, go to abibiatumi.com. Make that one of your favorite places to go to. Forums for groups, forums, members, events, shopping. Crowdfunding. Oh, man, just go to bbtoomy.com. Crowdfund. Believe me, it's the place to be. Because the whole idea is to re-Africanize ourselves and de-whitenize ourselves. We need to de-whitenize ourselves so we can re-Africanize ourselves. You understand what I'm saying? I know you do. bbtoomy.com. B-A-B-I-B-I-T-U-M-I.com. Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta, located on Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard. And it's right across the street from Soul Veg, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna, which, of course, is open on Fridays and Saturdays from 1 to 7. And, of course, the Shrine has all kinds of stuff. They're ready for your business. You know, they got clothing, they got furniture, they got jewelry, they got books, they got the red, black, and green shoes. They have Kwanzaa kits. Candles, all kinds of good stuff at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. And of course, they're holding services on Zoom. They're holding, so they're not like they're not holding service. They are holding service. And Baba Olutunji told me they are having the classes again on Zoom. So, and then of course at the Shrine at Wadada's, you can get delicious smoothies and fruit drinks and all kind of pastries and so forth, soups at Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar. Mama Nia at Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Check out Mama Nia. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, green cards, figurines, all kinds of good stuff, T-shirts. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Give her a call if you're looking for a book. And if she doesn't have it, believe me, she'll get it. Give her a call at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The other bookstore that we promote as well is the Black Dot Cultural Center Bookstore in Lithonia. That's east of here, east of Atlanta, and the suburb of Lithonia. And my good brother Kazim Dejamu has done great work with this establishment. He has a coffee bar in there, along with books. And he also has the red, black, and green shoes and all kinds of T-shirts, books. Yes, Cultural Center and Bookstore. And I know he has a Kwanzaa program coming up. He's asked me once again to MC and
provide. You know, and I'm going to do my best to make a good program. Try my best. That's what I do. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. There is light in the black dot. Also, too, the Afroletics is in the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market. That's even not on the next exit from him. The exit off of I-20 from the black dot is Turner Hill, and that's the exit you take to get to the new Black Wall Street Market here in Stonecrest. In Stonecrest, and he has a store in there along with my good brother Sajafo. Sajafo has his jewelry and art store, and another brother, good brother Mike McGee Jr., has a CBD business in there. He has a CBD business. Yeah, so, you know, some good brothers and sisters in the new Black Wall Street Market. Gotta check it out. I just seen a picture on I just seen a stream on Facebook. Somebody was in there and took, in fact, my good brother, because Kwaku is planning on doing something with the new Black Wall Street Market, making it like a documentary. So that's cool. Talking to the vendors and so forth. Yeah. Homeland Village, they're closed on Mondays, but from Tuesday through Sunday, Homeland Village in Macon, Georgia, they have a fine array of beauty products, oils, incense, CDs, literature, books, jewelry, furniture, fashion, and they even have a vegan restaurant within this place that I, you know, my good brother Abijah, give him a call at 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. The Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop in Macon. Us lifting us to economic development cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Us lifting us, and they have their Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night, and that's from 9 to 10 on Thursdays. On Blog Talk Radio, that's blogtalkradio.com/ULU. Blog Talk, you go to go online to blogtalkradio.com/ULU on Thursday at 9 p.m. and you'll get the Thursday night broadcast. But you can also call. You can call to listen, or you can call to make comments, questions, or concerns at 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Yeah. So. So. Us lifting us, the economic development cooperative for our people, in the spirit of Ujamaa. Sun Goddess Scents. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop, located at 4140 Jonesboro Road, Forest Park, Georgia. It's inside the International Discount Mall, Booth 225. For more information, contact our good sister, Shelly Amundset, at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay Dash Aidi, Sister Gabriella Aurelius, is doing an outstanding job of educating and providing good information in healthcare, sustainable agriculture, and entrepreneurship in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. Brothers and sisters, go to Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I.org. Sanjay dash Haiti. .org. Ah, yeah. So, Akabin House. And we always promote my good brother, Papa Baruti, and Mama Baruti, N.E.I., because of the work that they do. It's vital, vital work that they do, raising our young warriors. And they deserve to be supported. They deserve to be supported. So, brothers and sisters, send a check or money order to Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. You can use Cash App or PayPal. If you use Cash App, put in the dollar sign, YAA, the letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, and make monthly donations. You can do that. If you $25 a month. It would be greatly appreciated, you know? I mean, just to be supportive for the work that they're doing. Also, too, they if you want to check out the books, Baba Rudy's prolific writer. I don't know how he finds time to do it, but he's on. So go to Akabin House, akabinhouse.com, akabinhouse.com. And there you can check out the latest books of Baba Rudy. Yep. The Inye Sasim. One of his books, he writes the Inye Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Excuse me. Well, let me do this first because I'll get this out the way. Friday or Saturday? I think it's Friday. Yes, it is. It's this Friday. This Friday, the 6th Annual African Warriors Women's Day. Yes, right. Mama Ya Barudi, and the topic is Celebrating African Warrior Sheroes. Celebrating African Warrior Sheroes. Friday, December 10th, from 7 to 9 Eastern Time. From 7 to 9 Eastern Time. Donation is $10 for women and $5 for teens. There's a Zoom link, and of course, you can contact Mama Ya at 404-753-7237. Once again, that's 404-753-7237. And just if you go online, put in the link, the pertinent information, and then, of course, your email address so they can send you the information. Okay? That's this Friday, celebrating African Warrior Sheroes. And for sisters, that's for the sisters. All right. December 5th. Heads up, eyes up, and fists clenched. Fred Hampton Jr. What constitutes the character of warriors in terms of the quality of their person and vision? What makes them frontline normal? Warriors should expect to make mistakes, but most importantly, they should work to systematically learn from them. Warriors study their ancestors so they can become them in principle and in power. Warriors give their children no reason to doubt their integrity. Warriors are sober and straight. Warriors are righteously enraged, but do not bring that justifiable anger toward our enemy and towards our enemies and flailings into their homes. Warriors defend their homes, communities, and nation mentally, physically, and spiritually in every possible way and by any means necessary. Warriors provide for the resources of their families, communities, and nation. Warriors work to liberate, empower, and make their nation sovereign, practicing first at the level of family and community. Warriors carry forth the revolutionary tradition. Warriors teach their children, biologically and socially, to think rather than to memorize, for they know that it is a quality of dynamic nation builders. And last but definitely not least, warriors absolutely respect each other. And particularly the men respect the women and the women respect the men. Warriors never physically, mentally, or spiritually violate or demean each other publicly or in private. And because what it means to be African has become a contested area, to this list we have to add that warriors are not confused as to their sex or gender. While there are other important qualities, we have defined warriorhood now must be based on the imperatives and exigencies of the reality in which we currently live and the one we intend to build. Affirm, my head is up, my eyes are open, my fists are clenched. Affirm, my head is up, my eyes are open, my fists are clenched. December 6th. Intention brings into existence. Siddiqui Bakari. Do what you do. Pay no attention to the instigations of those who are near you and who hate you. Some know of no other me. So in addition to making it difficult for others to determine who is the fool instigator to allow yourself to be reactively drawn into their hatefulness, on the table they set is to feed it, to actively engage in your own work, keeping their hatred from interfering with your direction and progress is to strive for it. And because hatred is insatiable, keeping their confusion at bay will direct it away toward another potential food source and not you. Affirm, I make what needs to be done happen. Affirm, I make what needs to be done happen. Brothers and sisters, the Inye Sesem of daily revolutionary thought. My good brother, who this year, back in August, and which is also his birth month, who's now an ancestor, my good brother, Renoka Rashidi. Here's one of his quotes, and he said this quote in the Hidden Colors series. But here's a direct quote. History is a light that illuminates the past and a key that unlocks the door to the future. That's why history is so vitally important. That's why we embrace this history. That's why I'm constantly pushing and promoting it and speaking about it on this program consistently. Because it is a light that illuminates the past and a key that unlocks the door to the future. Baba Renoka Rashidi. What you do for yourself depends upon what you think of yourself. And what you think of yourself depends upon what you know of yourself. And what you know of yourself depends upon what you have been told. The fact that we have been told by Europeans, the liars who have found a way to, it's like Dr. Clark, you know, I love Dr. Clark. He said they just not colonized, colonized the physical world, but they colonized information about the world. They've twisted it. You know, that's why there's this big fight about critical race theory, because their history is so bad. They don't want to teach that because their history is terrible. It's disgusting as it relates to other human beings on the planet. No, damn it, they went around the world. They didn't bring no damn democracy, no civilization. Contained in the word civilization is civil. You think they're civil? You know what civil means? No, they didn't. They brought death, domination, and destruction to the world. And they continue to do it. So who's doing the telling? That's why it's important that we reject every damn thing that they say, everything that they do. We reject it. Your philosophy determines your thought pattern. Your thought pattern determines your attitude. Your attitude determines your behavior pattern, and your behavior pattern determines your actions. It begins with what, with your philosophy, what you think, and it ends with what you do, your actions. It begins with what you think and how you, who formulates your thoughts. If you look at, if you have no understanding and no historical reference, when you look at this society and you watch TV and you watch, oh, no, your actions will be of a Negro. Don't you see it? You know, I'm going to be real with you. I think that us trying to, you know, I mean, we have to do what we can. But to me, there are so many of us that are a lost cause. That's why I keep saying, time is of the essence. We need to, I mean, when you look at Mother Africa being savagely raped by Europeans, Indians, Arabs, and Chinese, I mean, Chinese are just taking over like you ain't nothing. We need to help our brothers and sisters on the continent because that is ours. That is ours. There is no place on the damn planet that we can honestly say, this is ours. We have been taken to other places. We can't say that is ours. We can't say the Caribbean is not ours. We've been taken there. Brazil is shown the hell ain't ours. And they let us know it. And they let us know it in the Caribbean. Yes, I know what happened with Barbados last week. And it's beautiful. And I wish every other island nation or every other place that has been subjugated by the French, by the British, or whoever else, and kick their ass out. I would love for that to happen. But the only place that we can say and we can go kick somebody's ass out is on the continent. And I ain't just talking about so-called sub-Saharan. I'm talking about even in the north. Even in the north. We must make, as we approach another year, already 20 years into this millennia, there is no doubt about it. We cannot afford to wait 10, 20, 30 more years from now. Time is of the essence for us. And so therefore, I'm saying that we must lay the gauntlet down. And we say it's an either or. Either you are with us, and if you're not, then stay out, because this is the direction we're going. If you're with us, it ain't here. You can keep your ass here. Because we have to go home and reclaim the motherland. I don't talk about independence. When I mean independence from this madness. Self-determination that we decide for us, by us, and no one says anything about that. Liberated. Liberated means to be a part of it, away from it, liberated, out of, liberated. Sovereign means it's that it is what we determine. We are a sovereign nation. Nobody dictates to us. Nobody tells us any damn thing. We make the decisions. So, it begins with what we think, and it ends with what we do. So I'm saying to us brothers and sisters, we think in a sovereign, less like the sovereign psyche. My brother with the sovereign psyche. That's why, to me, that quote, once again, is just a dynamic quote, man, I'm telling you. And it's something that we got to deal with, you know? Something that we got to deal with. Where's that quote at? Come on, Brother Oshi. Let me find it in a minute. Okay. Shucks. Ah, man. We must not be people. We must not be the people who walked but left no footprints. Here we go. I'll do it in a minute. We must not be the people who walked but left no footprints, who talked but had nothing meaningful to say, who labored but built nothing for themselves. And so we lay at your feet, the builder's spade and shovel, the mason's trowel and square. Africa's books of great wisdom, now go and build for eternity. Brother Lester Velt Middleton. And the beauty of him building is the fact that he built his house physically. He built his house in North Carolina. You can see Brother Lester Velt Middleton on YouTube. Interviewing our great scholars, interviewing our warrior scholars, Brother Lester Velt Middleton. Here's the quote that I mentioned. Brother Era, Ezra Era Home, his book, The Sovereign Psyche, said there is no other historical instance of a formerly enslaved people. There is no anywhere on the planet. There is no documentation, no historical instance. There's no evidence of anything saying we're a former enslaved people who valued integration with their former captors to the point where they completely abandoned the superior wealth of their own homeland. Here we are sitting on all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they showing the hell damn it don't want to pay for. But yet, we're trying to get into Europe. We're trying to get into America. We're trying to get out of Africa, anything but where we are. Now, I'm going to tell you something. And I'm going to just say this because some of you may believe that this is our fault and that how we behave and the fact that we would rather integrate with our captors and so forth is because, you know, it is our fault, you know. What I've said and what I'll continue to say, and I don't give a damn if those of us who don't like it, but our condition did not happen because of us. Our condition happened because of Europeans, because of Caucasians. You always blaming the white man. How we behave in these communities, that ain't the white man's fault. Why are we killing each other? Why are we disrespecting each other? That ain't the white man's fault. You always blaming the white man. Yeah, you're right. I put the blame where it squarely belongs. Isn't this not his system? Didn't he conquer, so-called conquer the world? Didn't he believe that he had manifest destiny? That he was divinely inspired to control the resources of the world? Didn't he believe that? Didn't he? So yes, I put it where it squarely belongs. On Europeans, on the white man. I know, I have some friends, they're always, you know, blaming us, blaming the victim, you know, for this condition, for how we live, our communities. In the major cities of this nation, in the major cities of the nation, there are areas in those cities where we are living. And it's treacherous. It's scary. The housing stock is terrible. There are many places where, you know, you would think this is America. This is the America that they promote on. Yeah, no, it's not the America they promote on to the world, but it is America. Because if you understand America and capitalism, you must understand there's got to be poor. There's got to be people who are in abject poverty. There's got to be poor. So in order for me to have all the wealth and all the riches and all the material things that I have or want to have or I feel I should have, there's got to be people who ain't got to have a damn thing. They ain't going to have nothing. My good friend Mickey Dean out of Kansas City with the Kansas City National Black United Front in Buff sent me information on the upcoming tour, the Returning to the Source Conference. One Africa, right on. One Africa. Returning to the Source Conference and study tour. And going to Aswan, going to Kemet. And the guest speakers include Anthony Browder, Professor James Small, Dr. Boyce Watkins, Dr. Wade Nobles, Dr. Leonard Jeffries, Dr. Roslyn Jeffries, Brother Infudishi, Brother Infudishi, Dr. Shalanji Ashby, and Asirim Hotep. Understand the land of Kemet, the predecessor to what is now known as Egypt and its contribution to modern civilization. Explore the pyramids at Giza, the last remaining, the first seven wonders of the world, and the last remaining seven wonders of the world. It was the first and the last. Tour the Valley of the Kings. Explore the antiquities at the Cairo Museum. Take a balloon ride across Luxor temples. Visit the mortuary of temples of Ramesses III. That's where you, in Ramesses III, is where you see the relief of how the Kemetic people saw themselves. There's four people that you see. Two people who are African, who are dark-skinned, that is themselves, the Kemites, and the other ones are the Nubians. And then you see the Indo-Europeans, and you see the Semite people. Visit the West Bank, the Temple of Queen Hatshepsut, and Phali, that's Greek. I can't pronounce the other name. A Gaelic temple that you see right on the Nile River. The Grand Temple dedicated to the Netcher Aset. It's a temple dedicated to Aset. That tabernacle day one to Sunday, Monday, the 20th through the 21st. So that's February 20th through the 28th. February 20th through the 28th. And the cost of it is, the trip price is $3,500 for double occupancy and $4,200 for single occupancy. $3,500, brothers and sisters. The price of the trip is $3,500. And there is a $700 single supplement charge. You know, if you want to be, you know, go alone. You know, a deposit of $300 required, non-refundable for all reservations, $300. The total fare must be received no later than 30 days prior to departure. A valid passport with a Kemetic or Egyptian visa is required. So you got to get the visa. You know, this is Ankh Tours, P.O. Box 32271 in Jamaica, New York, 11431. I'll be announcing this for those who want to go. This is kind of reminding me of the call by ASCAC to Kemet in 82, I think it was. If somebody remembers when it was or know the exact time, please give me a call. Let me know. Yeah. So February 20th, which is a couple months away. So, yeah. So if you want to drop that bread, yeah, you know, I would, oh man, I would love to go. Maybe think on this within the confines of this month, because, yeah, yeah. So you see the people involved and what they're going to be doing and trips they're going to be taking. So, yeah. Brother Mickey Dean, he's thinking about going. So, yeah. Good brother. I know he, I'm thinking about, I'd like, you know, to check this out. But you know that I don't see them going to Abu Simbel. And once again, I don't see this on the itinerary. To me, if you go to Kemet and you don't go to Abu Simbel, it's like you going to France. I don't know why I want to use that comparison, but going to France and not seeing the Eiffel Tower, you know, or whatever national monument or whatever building or statue or museum that's of note and notoriety about that country. Because Abu Simbel is deep. Abu Simbel is deep. Ramesses II was deep. And of course, as you know, if you don't know, when you see Abu Simbel today, That was not where it was originally, where it originally was. They flooded the area where it was. So they cut it up before they flooded it. They cut it up in pieces like a jigsaw puzzle and pushed it and moved it into this little area plateau where you see it today. Because where it was, twice in a year, the sun was able to rise and penetrate in Abu Simbel and illuminate the Holy of Holies. So that's, to me, that's the architecturing genius, the engineering that took place. That was the miracle. That was the feat. Yes, cutting it up and then putting it back together, you know, because there was a team of Western engineers from many countries that were designed, I mean, that were called together to cut it up and then place it back together as you see it today. I've been to Abu Simbel, you know, and you can see, but to me, the engineering feat was not that. The engineering feat was building it as Ramesses the second. Like I said, they're going to visit the mortuary temple of Ramesses the third, where the picture, which substantiates how the ancient Kemetic people saw themselves and how they saw their cousins through the south in Nubia. They're one people. They're showing themselves as one people because they are. They're African. Once again, brothers and sisters, go to the documentary on YouTube, Great Pyramid K 2019. Go to YouTube, Great Pyramid K 2019. So, yeah. One thing that happened in Milwaukee, I got to make mention of. A good friend of mine, brother, a police officer, Brother Kim Robinson, didn't know this part of his history, but his father was an architect. Kim was on the police department a long time, been to a few events with him, and Kim has always been taking pictures. Good brother. He was a member of the League of Martin, worked well with the League of Martin, which is the Black Police Officers Association, you know. But they were honoring his father, honoring Alonzo Robinson, Milwaukee Fire Department building named for Wisconsin's first American African architect, because he designed the building. And now it's called the Alonzo Robinson Milwaukee Fire Department Administrative Building. And they show pictures of it and so forth. And that the, in fact, they built it in 1962 at the cost of $500,000, a price today equivalent to a new emergency vehicle. That's what it is. I mean, the cost of a fire department is very expensive. That's why it's one of the top budgetary items along with the police department on any city's budget. Because fire department, which of course is necessary, definitely necessary, because here in America still, there are more fires and more people who die of fires, you know. And then of course, the fire department just doesn't fight fires. The fire department deals with all kinds of emergency situations, particularly now of emergency medical situations, paramedics and so forth, you know. So the cost for that equipment, and then of course for personnel, is expensive. But at that time in 1962, they built that building for $500,000. And it's a nice structure, big firehouse. We have renamed the building in the honor of Alonzo Robinson, who was left out of history, who was left out of history books and denied any public acknowledgement of his architectural contributions for far too long. And this is Aaron Lipsky, who was the chief of the Milwaukee Fire Department. And in fact, him, the Lipskys, they're Polish. And of course, if you know about Milwaukee was settled by Germans and Poles. A lot of Polish, and there's probably more Poles in Chicago, but Milwaukee settled with Germans and Poles. And the Lipsky family, I mean, they, when I came on the job, their their father, their grandfather, their grandfather, and then his, then their father came on, and then his two sons, you know, Aaron and whatever. So he's the fire chief. Anyway, to the Robinson family, please accept on behalf of the Milwaukee Fire Department our deepest apologies for what was likely not a simple clerical oversight, but rather a visible and painful slight based not on Alonzo Robinson's talent or expertise, but on the color of his skin. Chief Lipsky said that the department had located the hand-drawn plans for the building, which showed Robinson being promoted as the project advanced. As you progress through these pages, Mr. Alonzo Robinson goes from designer to design in charge. I can't even imagine what they felt like to be the only American African architect in the state at that time. When Alonzo Robinson was awarded his architectural license by the state of Wisconsin in 1956, he was the first American African to take and successfully pass the examination. The Milwaukee Common Council voted unanimously on February 9th to approve renaming the Milwaukee Fire Department Administration Headquarters after Alonzo Robinson. As the first American African registered architect in Milwaukee and Wisconsin, Mr. Robinson is a true inspiration and trailblazer in his field. Someone who overcame adversity to open doors for future architects and engineers of color in the city and in the state, said Council President Cavalier Johnson, the lead sponsor of the renaming legislation. He will now be honored and appropriately in the city with his name on the important building that he designed. Robinson's love of contemporary design and signature use of architecture is displayed throughout the MFD building, the Milwaukee Fire Department building, which includes artistic railings in its stairwells. I agree. Robinson, like many modernist architects, believe that forms of architecture have a vital influence on environmental behavior and for dissolving social boundaries. He incorporated the application of these distinctive surfaces to promote feelings of happiness, calm, and relaxation. Along with Robinson's family, we recognize a pioneer who left a lasting mark on Milwaukee with his building and other public and private structures. Alonzo overcame barriers and achieved a professional standing that reflected his dedication and hard work in the community, said the mayor, Tom Barrett. What kind of legacy is what the Robinson family hopes this building can have on top of the physical legacy from their father? With the hundreds of buildings he has designed all around the area, they have also created an annual scholarship given to young and aspiring architects of color. Right on, to get a scholarship. So there's other speakers and so forth, so I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I know Kim. I never, of course, knew his father, but and I didn't know this history. And I see a lot of pictures. Of course, Kim is a photographer, so there's a lot of pictures. And it was a great honor, and I'm so glad that it happened. And he had sent him, I called him and congratulated him. In fact, when I was in Milwaukee, I saw him, and we talked. And so I'm just really glad. And there I see Brother Claiborne Benson of the Wisconsin Black Historical Society, you know. So it's important, man. Your history is important. Your history is important. That's why, you know, you must be the teller of the story. And you must dig it up. And so the apology was given. The building is named in his honor. And he is recognized for what he has done, you know. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back from the break, we're going to open these phone lines up to you, man. I got to get some folks up here. We're going to get some conversation going. Some of the things that I said or anything else that you feel you want to bring. You know me. I can always come up with something because, hey, you know. Yeah, I come up with something. What did I do? Man, I tell you, I be messing up, man. I be messing up, dude. I tell you, I try. Believe me, I try, family. You know, but I and to me, all my efforts are honest. They're always honest efforts, and so. All right, dear brothers and sisters. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. That was Roberta Flack and Donny Hathaway back together again. 78, great, great piece. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays from 8 to 9, from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m., Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9 on Wednesdays. And then if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And on Saturdays, from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then on Sunday, once again, it's Time for an Awakening at 7 p.m. with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. It's open mic Monday. So you can talk about some of the things I just mentioned or have something that you want to discuss or illuminate. So give us a call at 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We have a few people in the queue. And, of course, if you want to have some conversation, hit star twice, and then we can have some conversation, you know. But it's this trip to Kemet with these scholars. It's going to be that's affordable. That's very affordable, you know. And so, like I said, the only thing that I didn't see them going to, and because to me, if you're going to Aswan, that's where Abu Simbel is. It's in Aswan. You know, because it's where they dammed the Nile to create Lake Nasser. You know, so maybe I need to look a lot more through it, through this information, instead of just skimming it. But I mean, it doesn't say the highlights, because I mean, you know, if that was going to, you would definitely highlight that. You know, I mean, it talks about Ramesses III. It doesn't talk about Ramesses II. That's so. Well, and I look, and these are some people that I know, and then some of them know me, you know, and they're all great scholars and good brothers and sisters, and it'll be an honor and pleasure to, you know. You leave out of JFK in New York, so you got to get to JFK, you know, and then you fly from that point over into Kemet. I made the trip before, and it was a lot less than the 3,500. When I made the trip, it was a great price. And I want to thank my sister Savannah Williams and her tour business out of Chicago. And announced it at the Black Firefighters, and about 8 of us, and a friend of hers. So it's 10 of us that made the trip, and it was cool. And fortunately, we did see Abu Simbel, and we did visit a Nubian village, and had the crocodile and baby crocodiles in our hands, and so forth. It was cool. You know, yeah. So check that out. That's once again, the tour people is Ankh Tours Incorporated out of Jamaica, New York, and all the information, go to ankhtours.com/Egypt-tour-2022. So that's Ankh, A
khetours.com/Egypt-tours. So, Ankh Tours. And you can be going to Kemet with a group of people. I'm hoping they'll get a great crowd. The price is pretty decent. I hope they get a good crowd. Because if you know anything about that group of brothers and sisters that went back in the 80s, I know many Milwaukeeans that went to that went on that tour. You know, some good people that went on that tour back in A Return to the Source. And that was led by the great ASCAC scholars, Dr. Clark, Dr. Ben, many others. Of course, Milana Karinga. The thing is, I don't use his name too often, you know, but Milana Karinga, you know. Speaking of which, Kwanzaa. The Kwanzaa Association committee meeting is tonight at 6 p.m. The Kwanzaa Association committee meeting is tonight at 6 p.m. And it's going to be a Zoom call, a Zoom meeting. There's plenty of people going to be on that call, you know. KwanzaaAssociation.org. You can go to KwanzaaAssociation.org. It's going to be a national link. Florida, D.C., California, St. Louis, Tulsa, New York, you know. And, of course, here, the local group here. And the Pan-African Federalist Movement members will be on the call as well, as many cities as possible, during Kwanzaa on the Zoom calls. So that's going to be tonight as we prepare to celebrate Kwanzaa across this country. I made mention when I was talking with Mama Nabantu, who is the chair here of the Pan-African Federalist Movement here, and also she has been instrumental in Kwanzaa when she lived out west. I need to call my good sister Akina, and because she knew the sister who helped spread Kwanzaa throughout the country and elsewhere, Mama Arcana, and to call my brother up in New York, you know, because one of the things that, you know, even though Milana Karinga is like, as the creator of Kwanzaa and kind of co-opted, and that's why I don't talk about him too often, and, you know, because he's done some things that are not cool, just being, keeping it real, and so, but he still deserves, you know, some mention about his helping with the creation of Kwanzaa. And you see, and all those things, I would never take that away from him. But some of the things that he's done to usurp, and the changing of the flag, the stamp. And believe me, I definitely go to the mailbox, because I mail my bills, you know, and always get Kwanzaa stamps. You know, but that first stamp that came out with the colors, you know, it wasn't red, black, and green. So, and then, of course, him and Malefi Asante. And Malefi Asante's son has an outstanding documentary on Kwanzaa, The Black Candle. You know, if you want to do Kwanzaa for you and your family, get that documentary and check it out. You know, it's in, to view it during the Kwanzaa time is excellent. Helps you with understanding of the things that you need to celebrate correctly and things that you can do, you know. Because I look forward to, we need to have one of those days where we definitely have a national hookup, and we have national entertainment. You know, just like they do awards programming, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, I don't want it to be too commercial. I don't want it to be brought to you by, you know. You know, I want it to be something that we, you know, if it's brought to you by, it's brought to you by us. Every commercial is about a business that is ours, because that who have helped sponsor this National Kwanzaa presentation. You know, that's why I look at it. That's how I look at it. And in fact, we really would love to, since we have the ability to have a worldwide hookup, you know, because there's no doubt about that Kwanzaa is a, could be and should be a unifying factor. The underlying theme of Kwanzaa is unity. The underlying theme of Kwanzaa is unity. The first principle of Kwanzaa is unity, is umoja. And all the things that bring about unity. Like, I have no doubt in my mind that we cannot be totally, totally unified because of what has happened to us. But for those of us who understand how important unity is, we come together. We come together. Like I said, there has to be a point in time, brothers and sisters, that we lay down the gauntlet. That we say, bam, this is it. Either you're going to be in with us as we build a new world for African people based on our respect and trust and love for one another, based on our complementarity of men and women, based on family. Or you going to maintain doing the same thing and be a part of what Urugu? Because I know Urugu's got a vice grip on our minds. He has imposed boundaries that he has set that we are kept. These boundaries that he has imposed upon us keeps us thinking and behaving the way that we do. That's why I keep saying to these brothers and sisters who want to say, no, you always blaming. You damn right. I'm always blaming the white man. You damn right. Because the crux of the problem or the root of the problem is them. It is not us. Do you think we want to behave this way? Do you think we want to kill each other like nobody else kills each other? Do you think that we want to diss our women the way we do, that only 25% of us get married and the other 25%, half of that still ends up in divorce? So only 25 of us getting married and still 50% of that. So that's just 12.5 of us stay married. When we were married, and also too, the other fallacy about us always married. I mean, you see it on TV. You see the interracialness on TV in commercials. Oh, excuse me. In commercials, you see it on TV. They promote it consistently. Like, there's, you know, like America is some kind of multiracial, multi-ethnic place of harmony and love. Please. That's why they don't want you talking about real history. They don't want to talk about the truth. They can't handle the truth. Got many of us believe in this. So it's up to us, brothers and sisters. It's up to us. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? He found another topic we can get off into instead of me going on a rant, which I'm so, you know, adamant about doing. Yeah. Going on a rant. Go going to the Pan-African Alliance website. There's a few websites I go to that are just outstanding with information. And the Pan-African Alliance website is a good one. You know, panafricanalliance.com. Yeah. Some good narratives. Mm-hmm. And there's some podcasts so that you can, you know, you can, there's those of us who are giving information out and so forth. Yeah. Very good website. If you haven't checked it out, please do. Go to panafricanalliance.com. And there's a lot of good stuff. And there's some search there. Stuff for sale. You know. And there's a commercial for the Pan-African Alliance that you can join. The Pan-African Alliance. And there's a few other good websites too, brothers and sisters. You know. The Irritated Genie, my good brother. War on the Horizon. So, as I go through here, I'm just trying to pick something out that can read and we can discuss. I always like to have a discussion. Yeah, I always like to have some good discussion. Good one here with Professor Horn. These are discussions here. I don't know how much time they have. Yeah. Creating the future of black history with UNIA leader Ross Marvin. Ross Marvin, my good brother here in Atlanta. We need to work on African spirituality. Good topics. Yeah. And I was listening to some Christians, and I keep thinking as I'm listening to them, you know, Christianity has another lock on our minds, you know. And if you watch or you look at Facebook, if you do, and there's some good memes that come out, like from my brother Franklin Jones, who will be my guest on Wednesday. Franklin Jones will be my guest on Wednesday, and Brother Bomani Tayemba will be my guest on Friday, talking about you know, his trip, his recent trip to Tanzania and his upcoming trips. And like I said, he has a one coming up in a few weeks going to Ghana. And so, but yeah. Here's one, Ashua Kwesi. We must defeat white spirituality, white supremacy with African spirituality. Manua Pim. Brother Manua Pim is a professor from the San Francisco area, San Francisco Bay Area. Brother Manua is outstanding. Black consciousness, the past and future of black consciousness. Well, once again, I, to me, if we don't get our ass out of this madness, it won't be any black consciousness. Because these folks ain't going to bring it. That's for damn sure. These folks who are up in here, they ain't going to bring it, you know. The Reeducation of the Negro with Professor Kaba Kamani of Hidden Colors, exposing the medical industrial complex. Everything you need to celebrate Kwanzaa this year. That's right. Everything you need. Let me go. Just look at that. Because, you know, I'm looking at and trying my best to try to say that, hey, we need to promote this. You know, See, everything you need to celebrate Kwanzaa. Kwanzaa is a holiday celebrated by Pan-Africanists across the diaspora and its growing nations of nations on the African continent. On each of the 7 days that the holiday is celebrated, principle is observed and designed to shape the character of the participants in the community as a whole. These principles are collectively called the Nguza Saba. And see, that's what I'm saying. We have all that we need. We have the Nguza Saba. And we have, you know, Ma'at. We have Ma'at. We have all that we need in terms of a spiritual direction. Only thing that we don't have is our right minds. It's our right minds. It's the only thing we don't have. But these principles, of course, were not just to say, okay, on the December 26th, we're talking about Umoja and Umoja. You know, Abaragani brothers, Umoja. Abaragani means what's the word? You know, and you say the word, you say the principle of that day. You say the word of the principle of that day. So if it's the first day of Kwanzaa, it's Umoja. Umoja, Umoja. No, it's supposed to be in your everyday life. You practice in thoughts of unity every day. Kujichagulia. You practice with thoughts of self-determination every day. I changed my name because of Kwanzaa. I gave myself an African name because I believe so strongly in being African. To define ourselves, name ourselves, create for ourselves, and to speak for ourselves. I took that serious. I took that serious. Ujima, collective work and responsibility. To build and maintain our community together and make our brothers and sisters' problems our problems and solve them together. Ujamaa, cooperative economics, to build and maintain our own stores, shops, and other businesses and to profit from them together. What did I say Kwanzaa was, the underlining theme of Kwanzaa? Exactly, unity, together. Because there's obviously some businesses. Now, you know, when a person goes into business here in a capitalist society, he or she is want to make money. They want to make money. I understand that. We should understand that. They want money. And so they don't want a business that only caters to us. They want a business that caters to any and everybody. But the fact of the matter is many businesses will only get us. So if we don't support it, we don't support it, it will not be supported. It will eventually close. We're going to Mexicans for some Mexican food. In fact, sometimes you go to a Mexican restaurant, there ain't even no real Mexicans, be Haitians there, and vice versa. You know, because we go to Asians for Chinese food, Thai food, Korean food. The only ones coming up in the African restaurants are Africans. And here in Atlanta, there's a number of African restaurants and number of Ethiopian restaurants. There's a few of them, you know, because of the population size and who we are and the immigration of our African brothers and sisters. So there are, you know, Nia, purpose. To make our collective vocation the building and developing of our community in order to restore our people to their traditional greatness. That is our purpose. When you have a child, you want to make sure that child understands and knows its purpose. But if they get caught up in this madness, they think their purpose is to get money. Their purpose is to do for themselves and get theirs. They don't understand it. But that has to be taught to them in a young age. That has to be instilled in them. Kumba, creativity. to always, as much as we can, in the way that we can, in order to leave our community more beautiful and beneficial than we inherited it. Creativity. And not just the creativity of us as entertainers, as athletes. No, the creativity and the creative mind that we could come together and collectively think about rebuilding and restoring and recapturing our traditional glory. We built the brothers and sisters. Once again, go to YouTube, Great Pyramid K 2019. We built the pyramids. They weren't built by aliens. They weren't built by Caucasians. They weren't built by anybody but us. Only people that could withstand being out in that sun is those who are deeply melanated. And that's us. We built the pyramids. And how did we build them? No, we didn't cut stone. We didn't have the tools to cut that kind of limestone or granite. No, we poured it. We poured it into a mold. That's why the blocks are cut so cleanly, and you can put the blocks on the stone end to end and not even be able to put a piece of paper in it. That's why. That's the creativity that we had. We created a solar lens that would melt the granite, that we could pour the granite and make the sarcophagus. And then King's Chamber. Why that King's Chamber is marble. Not marble, a granite. It's granite. And the pyramid is limestone. Brown limestone. And the outside of the pyramid was white limestone. Those limestones that was then have been taken off. And what you see today is the what was. And even though up close you can see how it looks. But from afar, it still looks what? Perfect. When I was driving up there, when the group I was in, we were driving there. I was like, wow, this is just fantastic. Look how that looks. At dusk, when you see the sun, and you can see, looks perfect. The silhouette, it looks perfect. And it was. That's the kind of creativity. The creativity now as we move into this 21st century for African people so we can develop ways of living that are in tune with our environment. That's the creativity that we need. And then Imani, faith, not just to believe with all our hearts and our people, our parents, our teachers, our leaders, and the righteousness of victory of our struggle. That's the faith, not the faith in some deity. No, faith in ourselves and faith in each other, a faith in a belief that is outside. That's the faith we're talking about. Ain't nobody gonna save us but us. We are the leaders that we've been looking for. We are. And nobody's going to do this but us. So, how the seven principles benefit the Pan-African community? If we're to progress as a culture, I don't use the word race. There is no such thing as race. There's only one race, the human race, of which African people are the fathers and mothers of. There's cultures. There's no such thing as race. The white race, the black race, the yellow race. No. They're cultures. And we have had a strong culture that was often imitated and tried to be duplicated. The Kwanzaa principles of Umoja will be the glue that will cement us. After integration, African people have chosen individualism as their standard for progressing in a Eurocentric society. When we look at the statistics, African people have not progressed at all economically. This is what we're saying, brothers and sisters. This is what we're saying. From a business standpoint and us collectively, are there a billionaire or two? Yes, there are some billionaires or two. And yes, there are some millionaires. And people with at least $500,000 in a bank account or in their savings. Yes, there are. Yes, there are. I ain't going to dispute that. But look at us collectively. Look at our situation collectively. What do we control? What do we control, especially here in this country? What do we control? We own very few businesses and have very little to no transferable wealth to leave the next generation. There is a solution available via the unification of the culture. Through 400 years of captivity, and once again, I choose my words. I choose my words. We were not slaves, as my good brother, LaRue Ned. We should stop calling our ancestors slaves. We were not slaves. You know, we were captives. Many of us were forced to abandon our original names and were given the names of our captors. Presently, we do not have the option of dropping all Eurocentric names and taking on more cultural names that would allow us to define ourselves in our work. You know, my thing is have the courage to do it. Have the courage to do it. This would give us an identity that will display pride, the principle of Kuji Chagalia, self-determination. Instead of allowing our oppressor to create jobs for us and speak for us, we will direct our energy toward building venues for our creative works, our music, our entertainment and politics and the things that we need that are controlled by us. A Kwanzaa display, you know, a Kwanzaa display, you got to have the Kanara. Since a new year will be starting in a couple of weeks, I'd like to challenge us to work together collectively. I'm calling bloggers, entrepreneurs, and others to team up and take the initiative for collective work and responsibility. The third principle of Kwanzaa, Ujamaa. This could be coming together for a particular project, initiative, or some other sort of research that would be of a benefit to the community at large. We could fund a food drive, a clothing drive, or even help clean up our streets and improve our neighborhoods. We could hit the streets to be Jegnas to our younger brothers and sisters, to be Jegnaks. See, I don't use the word mentor either. Don't use the word mentor. Mentor is the cat that abused, you know, Odysseus' son, Telemachus, in the story. And we know homosexuality and pedophilia are very direct. Good afternoon, caller. Good afternoon. Caller? Good afternoon.
Brother Oshie, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Hey, Brother Paul, how you doing, brother?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Good afternoon to you, sir. Good afternoon.
All
Let
right.
Let me jump straight on it. You know, Kwanzaa, this brother, his name slipped my mind. The brother, Karenga.
Okay,
Karenga,
yeah, Milana Karenga. Yeah.
Milana Karenga, that's correct, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, you said some interesting things. You made reference to let me just describe it like this, some bad behavior of that particular individual in the past, why you don't really speak about him. But what's interesting, I can't say I've really researched him, and I know a great deal about him, other than the hearsay, which I've heard. But we've got a brother here who's on the radio, was on one particular radio station, and any time this period he comes on, he starts going over why we shouldn't, no one should follow Kwanzaa, and he keeps going on about this brother and all the things he did. Apparently, he's supposed to kidnap two black women or kidnap some black women.
Right.
Well, involved in that.
Right. Well, yeah, he had a.
I've not really bothered.
No, I was just saying that he has an organization called the US Organization, and within that, he did. I mean, it's something that is known, and in fact, he was prosecuted for it. He was imprisoned for it. You know, it's a fact. And then not only that, did he not only do that, but he was an informant. You know, so his character is not good. That's why he's not invited to a lot of other things within the Pan-African movement. But he's still very active. He's still listened to. He's still known as the person who created Kwanzaa. And so he still goes to, you know, and then people pay Nick. They hear him along with a few others. But to me, he's suspect because of what he's done. But to me, he created it, but he don't own it. It is ours. And so, you know, I say, you know, to the gentleman in where you are in the UK, you know, just do it that way and just drop it and just promote Kwanzaa. You should not say don't do Kwanzaa because he brought it. No, because it's not his. It is not his. It is ours.
You know, do you know what, right? I find it very interesting. I can't honestly say why I haven't looked into him at all, really. I mean, I've heard all these sort of things, but I haven't really bothered to double check or look into it. And I'm trying to ask myself why. I think because I'm kind of thinking maybe. I heard one of the things this particular brother says is that he was an informant, whether he still is or not, I don't know. He worked for the CIA and all kind of stuff, yeah?
Uh-huh.
But the thing is, I suppose the way I see it is like this, yeah? During his time, during the 60s, 70s,
mm-hmm.
you had certain operations like COINTELPRO.
Yes.
Yeah? And, you know, to be honest with you, I think America holds its establishment up by a lot of these type agencies like the CIA. CIA is just one of them, of many intelligence
right.
agencies.
Right.
And, you know, people become informants either willingly or even sometimes unwillingly, meaning that, for instance, if they're accused of a crime, they can plea bargain. We don't have plea bargaining here. We don't have such a thing.
Oh.
That would be considered almost corruption.
Okay.
You have it there. You have
right.
plea bargaining there.
Yes.
And I read some statistics which says that, like, in terms of prosecutions, I'm paraphrasing and I may not have the figures exactly right, but it's something crazy like 90% of, prosecutions end in plea bargains.
Yeah.
Which is, they don't go to trial.
Listen.
Which is almost laughable.
Yeah, listen.
We don't have nothing like that here.
Listen.
I mean, that is just unbelievable.
Brother Paul, listen. The brother that people see now who have been at the head of many of the situations that people have died is Benjamin Crump. And Benjamin Crump constantly plea bargains. That's what he does. So, you know, yes, he gets the money, but the case, you know, still doesn't go to trial. People still sometimes don't go, although this case was turned over to the district attorney of that county in Georgia, the Ahmaud Arbery case was turned over to the district attorney, and they prosecuted that case effectively, you know, but otherwise, you know, when Benjamin Crump is called, he's trying to find a way to plea bargain to get the money. You know, make sure that you get to a doctor to prove your injuries or so, or if you were killed, to make sure that and I'm just saying, that's what happens here, and so you have a situation where a person who's facing something, and he can say, well, listen. You know, the authorities will say, listen, for you to not go to jail or to prison or to have this decreased, I want you to do this. I want you to just, did you see the Black Panther movie? Brother Paul. Oh, just, I lost him. But yeah, that happens all the time. That happens all the time here in America. Because there is no ethics. You know, there's no integrity. There's no honesty. This is an evil system. It's an evil system, and so can, and it's evil from top to the bottom. And so therefore, if Brother Paul, you with me now? Are you back?
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
It just cut out.
Yeah. But I was just saying that Benjamin Crump, the guy who's been for the last 15 years or so, he dealt with the Trayvon Martin case and so forth. He didn't take him to court. The other attorneys, he's the one that does a lot of plea bargaining, you know, and getting that money. And, of course, if he comes and takes your case, you don't have to pay him. He's going to do all the work on a contingent. That's one third of all the money that will be garnered. So if it's $9 million, he gonna get three.
You see, I suppose I'm trying to say, and I don't mean to offend anybody. We don't have such a thing here. I mean, to me, being even involved in the law, it just sounds ludicrous. It just sounds beyond ludicrous. To have a system like that. But I mean, who am I to say? But the bottom line is. The point I'm trying to raise, it seems to me, is like a breeding ground for corruption.
Yes,
because it no longer seems to be about justice or getting to
right.
the truth. It seems to be about money.
Right. Right?
And I mean, even not to go off the subject, but even we don't have. You can't. You know, we do have lobbying. Yeah, we do have lobbying,
mm-hmm.
but not to the extent you have it in America, where you've got these companies which. Quite openly lobbying for their interests,
yes.
I mean, and buying out politicians like that. I mean, I'm not saying it don't go on, but I do know in this country many, a good few politicians have ended up in prison, even for taking money to ask questions in Parliament. So they consider it very seriously. I'm not saying it don't go on, because it does. But
right.
The bottom line is, it seems to me.
Well, here,
that, you know, going back to Karenga, is yeah. like it seems that the there's a breeding ground for maybe to encourage that sort of behavior.
Yes, it is.
To an extent.
Yes,
of,
it is.
It's part of a system. It's part of a system.
Yes, because there is no honesty. There's no ethics. There's no integrity. Yes, it is. You know,
absolutely.
If you can cut a deal,
investigating, because you know, let's talk about informing. We don't know who the informers are. There's many of them. Many.
Oh yes.
Many we don't even know.
Right. And many people that you think were not
part of the system.
Right. And many people that you would think not, they are. You know, somebody you would think that, oh man, he wears dashikis. He, you know, he wear a fro, and you know, could be an informant. It's an act. Because what rules
Absolutely.
Is about the money, about getting yours. That's what happens. That's why, to me, you know. Go ahead, Paul. Oh, you're broken, and you're breaking up on me really bad. Brother
Hello?
Paul, yeah, you're breaking up on me bad. Go ahead.
Yes. Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Go ahead.
Yes. Has he ever made a public apology?
Well, you sound good right now. Go ahead.
Has he ever made a public apology?
I'm sorry. I didn't catch that. You broke up on me. He had to hang up again. Yeah, but I mean, You know, no, this is this system. And we think we can reform this. We think that, you know, through our marching and our begging and our pleading, you know, that somehow our our moral concepts that we have, that we feel, that somehow we can change this system. There is no way in hell you're going to do that. No way. Because number one, it is not ours, it is theirs. And they don't want it to change. People talk about it's broken. No, but it's not broken. It operates and functions the way it was designed to, the way it was intended to, and who it benefits. It benefits those who are in control. You know, one of the Caucasians, when I go to YouTube on my little tablet at times, one of the Caucasians I listen to is comedian George Carlin. You know, I always loved George Carlin. You know, there's some Caucasians that try to be honest about what's going on and know what's going on, you know. But I venture to say that most of the Caucasians, even the more contemporary liberal ones today, is they don't want to radically change the dynamics, but they want to make sure that it continues to be in their favor. And it is. You know, it is. It is theirs, not ours. It continues to be in their favor. So, yeah. So I hope you tune in next week, Paul. I mean, next week. No, this Wednesday, Brother Franklin will be on, I hope, this time. And talk to him. He's doing well. And so we can have some discussion about some of the memes he has with the Black People's Matrix. And then I get a chance to talk to Brother Bomani about his trip to Tanzania and the upcoming other tours that I think, you know, that to me, you can take advantage of. They're very reasonably priced. And if you go to YouTube and check out some of the videos, you'll see. They're nice. You know, this brother's done a good job. You know. And so, yeah. So if you don't have a Kwanzaa kit, you need. I don't know wherever you live. Hopefully, you have a Black bookstore. You know, you can get a Kanara, it's a candle holder. Now, check this out. Let me say this to you. You can make it any way that you can. It's just like I've been doing libations. I've been doing libations for quite a few years, and it's how I'll do it. It's how I do it. And you could do it the way you want to do it. As long as you are respectful and you're honoring our ancestors and you're honoring those brothers and sisters who came before us, do it. It's the same with Kwanzaa. If you can't get seven candles, three red, three green, and one black, then just get the big candles you got there. Well, one black, one red, and one green to represent. It's ever how you want to do it. If you can't get a Kanara, the candle holder, but if you can get a mat to put out, you can get some fruit in a bowl, you know, you can get some corn to represent the children. I mean, there's so many things that, so many ways. But if you're fortunate to have a store where you can get the Kwanzaa symbols, then do that. Go ahead and buy it. Set it up right after Christmas. Lay the mat down at a particular time where you can bring your family together, because that's where Kwanzaa really began, with families. Yes, I'm definitely in favor of the public Kwanzaa presentations. It's great. But with family. You know? So, it's that time. It's that time. Brothers and sisters, I appreciate this time. I always appreciate the time that I'm allowed and I'm given the opportunity to communicate with you. And I will continue to do the best that I can of imparting information and knowledge that we can use, that we can gain independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for us as a people. Because that is the end game. That is what we want to achieve. And we ain't asking nobody outside of us for any damn thing. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie. Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Peace, family.